Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience out there and those that are listening to us. We're focusing on the Declaration of Independence, you know, the 4th of July, you know, and there's a history behind the American flag. You know, I had a chance to be there with Sammy Granger, you know, in Alabama recently, where they're honoring him, and just it was just amazing. The soldiers came down from Georgia, you know, they played taps, they folded the flag with respect, and it was just so amazing because they reminded me of, because he was a prisoner of war, Sammy was a prisoner of war,
right,
and how we honored him and we honored the flag. And today it's like the things are happening. But I want to share with you right now the history of the flag. Listen to this. This is what happened and how the flag came about and what it stands for. This is where our national anthem comes from. Listen up. It's just a few moments. 8 minutes.
There was a lawyer once. His name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies." He said, "You'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains." As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, "We have a slight problem." He said, "We will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter." And Francis Scott Key said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, Mr. Key," he said, "tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry? He said, "We're going to remove it from the face of the earth." He said, "How are you going to do that?" He said, "If you will, scan the horizon of the sea." And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, "That's the entire British war fleet." He said, "All of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, "The war is over. These men would be free anyway." He said, "You can't shell that fort." He said, that's a large fort. He said, "It's full of women and children." He says, "It's predominantly not a military fort." He said, "Don't worry about it." They said, "We've left them a way out." He said, "What's that?" He said, "Do you see that flag way up on the rampart?" He said, "We have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered, and you'll now be under British rule." Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, how many ships? He said, hundreds. The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch. As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. He says the sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs. He said it was absolutely impossible to talk or hear. He said suddenly the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit. And he says from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling. Every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb. And Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, it's still up. It's not down. The admiral came and he said, your people are insane. He said, what's the matter with them? He said, don't they understand this is an impossible situation? Francis Scott Key said he remembered what George Washington had said. He said, the thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees. The admiral said, we have now instructed all of the guns to focus on the rampart to take that flag down. He said, we don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that. But he said, now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point. Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying. The prayer. God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it. Sunrise came. He said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag, completely nondescript, in shreds. The flagpole itself was at a crazy angle. The flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort Henry to see what had happened. And what he found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits. And when hit had fallen, but men, fathers, knew what it meant for that flag to be on the ground, although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said what held that flagpole in place at that unusual angle were patriots' bodies.
Just think about it. The price that was paid for us to have this liberty. The reason why they folded that flag the way they did over Sammy Granger's casket was because he was a prisoner where he fought for the right for this country. Like these men fought. Mm-hmm. And people are burning the flag today. And we don't understand where the national anthem comes. So we're going to close out. I want you to hear the national anthem. Having a different viewpoint of why we sing and where the words actually come from.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's
totally, totally awesome. It has such new meaning. I want to remind you, this 4th of July, let's remember our founding fathers. Let's remember the original intent. Let's remember what put our nation together that said to God, God, we will serve you. We will make you the Lord of our lives, the Lord of this nation, and that so you can uplift this nation, so you can uplift it, that you can bless it, and you blessed us so much, God. Lord, we ask you, help us to remember from whence we came, so this freedom, this gift that you've given us, we can continue on.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
The Supreme Court heard oral arguments about Prop 8 and the Defense of Marriage Act on March 26th and 27th. And while the jury is still out, so to speak, Professor Helen Alvarez of George Mason University School of Law and Dr. Al Mohler, president of Southern Seminary, share their thoughts on what it could mean if the Supreme Court doesn't do something. It seems like I heard Justice Alito almost suggesting that the court should really just say, sorry, we're not going to make a decision mm-hmm. here. We're going to let the states decide this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that likely? And if so, what are the implications for us as a culture and a country?
This would be as if Roe versus Wade, there the court would have said, it's not in the federal constitution, but you can do what you like in the states because the feds do not protect the unborn as a legal person. Here, they would be saying analogously, the feds do not have a constitutional right that a person can marry someone of the same sex so long as the laws allow people to marry people of the opposite sex. But you can do what you like at the state level because one man, one woman marriage also isn't the federal constitutional norm. Frankly, I think we'd have more of what we have now, just what Dr. Mohler was referring to earlier, which is, you know, a state-by-state struggle where Christians and other people of goodwill have to do what they should be doing already, which is living out and in their own lives and then speaking about what the full meaning of marriage is. I mean, then it's really a cultural, I don't want to use the word war, a cultural struggle for the near and long term.
You know, if you did take Roe v. Wade away, what you would be left with is something of a moral map of the United States, not in terms of every individual in all the affected states, but nonetheless, if you colored all the pro-abortion states one color and all the states that denied legal abortion another color, you would have a map that you would pretty much recognize just in terms of where you would expect more liberal states and less liberal.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wouldn't look like what most American liberals expect. In other words, the number of states that actually were pro-abortion back in 1973, it was actually a fewer number of states than most liberals remember. For instance, the law liberalizing abortion, making it legal in the state of New York, passed in the Senate of New York by one vote. Mm. Only one state by voter initiative legalized abortion. That was the state of Washington. So it turns out that the people on even the issue of abortion back in 1973 were considerably more conservative than liberals want to remember. And on the issue of marriage, I think it would be profoundly even more true.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would just end up with a moral map of the United States. It wouldn't be a perfect picture of what those of us who would want to honor marriage would want, but it would be far more honest, not to mention far more democratic, than having a judicially imposed uniformity at the cost not only of the sanctity of human life, but now of the integrity of marriage.
Hear the entire conversation with our guests about the erosion of marriage at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. you can reach out to Jesus Christ, that he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
It's Abraham Lincoln. I mean, sitting in a chair to remind us. I mean, we really need to go get, monuments of our fathers. I mean, there's some stuff out there. We got to really go back and rehearse that and find it and remember things. Remember how we got here.
Right.
But, you know, Abraham Lincoln, I mean, here's this man. He's a common man. I think they're making a movie about him right now. I saw on the news they're doing some sort of interview with somebody about him. And
yeah, I saw a preview of it.
I think, you know, kind of the mindset, though, what they're doing with our founding fathers, they're actually discrediting them and making them look less valuable.
Right.
Kind of rewriting our history.
Right.
You need to find out for yourself. I know the book written by Glenn Beck called Being George Washington. Oh, that was very good because it was accurate. Every single thing was documented. It was evidentiary. It wasn't some, you know, whatever. But in addition, he brought the evidence was there and everything was footnoted. But so you can really see he wasn't about chopping down cherry trees, and you know, it wasn't about that. This man had such character and integrity.
Right.
And I mean, he would sit upright to make sure his posture was right when he was in a room. He would articulate words in a certain way. We would think things through. He was very mannered, very polite. He would write in a certain way. He's a very calming man. He was a man that was a surveyor, and he understood. I mean, he's one of the founding fathers. I mean, the reason why they came to him and said, "Is there's no choice?" I mean, it's a no brainer. You need to be our president. As a matter of fact, they wanted to make him king. Right. Like, we just came from Great Britain. He's going like, "I don't think so."
Right.
We just saw bloodshed, death, mayhem. And I was being threatened. Listen, if they would have lost this battle for America, the ones that we celebrate, who they're trying to make look like, you know, whatever, these guys would have been decapitated, disemboweled. It would have been horrific death for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they won. And you can say what you want to, but you're living in their integrity. You're living in their prayers, where they prayed, "God, we cannot be under this king."
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just about taxation without representation. There's like 17. But read the Declaration of Independence. They turned it into money. The atheists that came into our, we gave our school system over to, and celebrate even today, an atheist that began to rewrite books. And so he turned our reason for leaving England was strictly off of money. I don't know if y'all remember in the 60s and 70s, they started making, you know, cartoons, you know, hard rock cartoons. And they said they had, you know, the Tea Party, and then, you know, taxation without representation.
Yeah, I remember that.
A real cheesy cartoon, but educational in regards to trying to educate us in the way that they wanted us to think about it. But the biggest issue was not taxation without representation. Yeah, that was something, but there was not representative government. So over here in America, in the New England area, it's called New England because they came from England, right? And so you have New England, and you have the colonies, which are independent in themselves. But they would make laws and how they thought that New England should run, and they would let England know what was going on, and the king would undo those laws. They would say, "This is how it needs to be in our state," and they would send it to Washington, and they would say, "This is how we want it to be in our colonies."
All right.
And then the king would be notified of what was going on in Great Britain, and he would undo that.
law.
Oh, wow.
And so they were not having representative government.
Mm-hmm.
And that was huge because they had no control over their destiny. They had no, what they thought was best for them, that they could survive in a land that the king really knew, he knew nothing about. And it was a whole different ball of wax, if you would, in America. And besides, you know, they believed all our rights come from God,
mm-hmm.
that he would just change their laws. He would just get around them.
Wow.
He would come up with things like czars and, you know, and I mean, the word wasn't czar, but it could be beheading.
Right.
You know? And he would just say, nah, I don't like that.
Right.
And so their frustration was not just taxation without representation. Listen, they had all of America, all the resources of America. Their frustration was, amongst many things, and some of the highest on their list was this one right here, the fact that it didn't matter what laws they thought they needed to have to over the land and over their people and community. The king would just do whatever he wanted to. So that means they didn't have representative government. It wasn't a republic.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tyrannical leadership under a king,
mm-hmm.
and who himself was over the church. And there was no other church, he thought, other than the one that he was over. And so to switch churches or switch countries, treason, and of course, not only do you lose your citizenship,
mm-hmm.
you lose your head. And so, I mean, even his wife lost heads. And so anyway, so it wasn't about money. So if you really see that, we got to get, you know, the original 10, I guess, is what we're hanging on right here, that it's happening right now, right before our very eyes. Right before our very eyes. You know, I want to encourage you. Representative government requires you to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ones that are having the tyrannical mindsets and they think they know best and that your rights don't come from God and that God won't, and, you know, we're talking to the church here, you know, believers, mm-hmm. and that they're not going to be happy with your revelation, because to say God's God is to say they're not God.
Mm-hmm.
No, they don't mind saying they serve a God.
Mm-hmm.
But if it rules them out as one of the gods, one of the providers, you know, if they're not like, you know, they're going to be upset with you. Yeah, I don't mind what you worship as long as you worship what I'm putting before you,
right.
The graven image type thing. And so with that, here we are today. They're making all these laws, and from what I understand, a friend of mine, well, actually a friend of my father's. It's in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
Sent my father some information, and he got it to me, that they've already made so many laws now. They appointed so much bureaucracy, so many people working for government.
Right.
And they established so many things that it doesn't matter who's going to be president next. It's going to take forever to change the way driver's license office does things. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no.
That's what it is. If it's going to take that long, because they... You know, justices remain, you know, laws remain. I mean, not laws, but they're treated like laws,
mm-hmm.
you know, administrative comments and suggestions,
right.
and issues and things like that, initiatives. And, you know, with that, it's happening in our faces. And the thing that I want to encourage you is everything in society is going to tell you that's the sleeping society. They're going to tell you, what are you doing waking up? Just go back to sleep. They'll mm-hmm. take care of everything for
right.
you. Just go back to sleep. You know, they have these little micro apartments they're building down in San Francisco, and it's like smaller than a 10 by 10.
What?
Yeah, it has everything right, just right there. You know why you can do that? You can do that because people look into imagery. They really don't experience life. All mm-hmm. they need is something to look at that looks like life, and then their body will react accordingly. They look at the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They look at television.
Right.
They look at their phones, and it kind of satisfies in a false way how God's meant for you to go smell the grass, go step in dog poop. You know, you know, get outside, throw some cow patties.
Right.
You know, if we're in Jersey, kick some cans over. I don't think there's any cow.
Well,
there's dairy farms in western New Jersey. You know, for those in Colorado, you know, parasail off the mountains. I'm just joking. Please.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, right. Man. And so, but they're building like 10 by 10 rooms. Mm-hmm. And it has everything stacked up. And the lady's being interviewed said, she said, I could sit here and reach over and grab the refrigerator at the same time. And she's talking about in the bathroom. It's like that small. Of course, in New York, you know, studio apartments and land and that type of thing. But, you know, America has plenty of land. But you're looking at, you know, provision. You know, the government will decide how many Cokes that you're going to drink. They will decide what they'll tell you that it's bad for you to smoke a cigarette. And they'll talk about all the details of smoking. But when it comes to plan B, kill your baby pill, they won't even tell the parents. They'll just get this little secret opt-out thing in New York right now, and the parents are in outrage.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how the opt-out stuff is on the online. You got to study for it. I think I'm the only one that reads that stuff.
I think so.
And then I check the same thing everybody else checks. I just want to know that I'm dying.
Right.
It's like, okay. My house, my dog, my cat. You know, you just click all these things you're giving away. And right now they're giving the day after pill to 14-year-old girls. Mm. And, you know, and which obviously got pregnant by boys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even letting the parents know about it. Now you jumped all over them for an educator. You don't need to be breathing that smoke.
Right.
You know, which you're right in saying, you know, smoking is bad for your health. I think it's a great thing for a teacher to do.
Mm-hmm.
But killing your baby, you didn't think snuffing out the life of the child of your baby, born under any circumstances, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the original founding fathers' values of our country, that all life is valuable.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody's important, from the oldest to the youngest. And this, we have to rediscover this, because people have devalued people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we believe in redemption. That's when we have corrections and systems. That's when we bring things before judges and magistrates and the jury of our peers, which means your neighborhood gets to come in and hear how somebody's accusing you to make sure that you're treated right.
Right.
And there was a media that used to look at it with an unbiased eye and just report everything they see. And then you had fair justice. But we're leaving away from that, where somebody in a back room with a bureaucratic hat on, you know, sketches out an idea or concept and regulates it, and for our good.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And next thing you know, you're in a, you know, 10 by 10 foot apartment with one digital screen that can take your mind anywhere, but not your soul.
Right.
And then the only thing you have room for is your plan B pills.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And your large Cokes wouldn't fit in there anyway, so you have a small Coke. And this is really happening. You know, I meant everything, you know. Normally, if you'll hear me like, and then like, you know, 2 weeks later, you're going to be like, yeah, that's what's going on. I'm a Saints fan.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or and something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device.
But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so that you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, Pat, we like to talk about the original intent. Mm-hmm. And so today, you know, I want to share a little bit about the original intent of the nation, of you know, of America. I want to talk about the Declaration of Independence. Oh, my goodness. Pat, this is an amazing document. What I mean, I don't even remember learning this in school.
Oh,
I mean, what grade? You know, it's like my son's like, you know, sixth. I think they do this in fifth or sixth grade. You know, and come on, let's. Mm-hmm. If you're a fifth and sixth grade boy, what in the world are you thinking? You're not thinking about Declaration of Independence. You know, you're thinking baseball, football, yeah, video
fireworks,
games. Yeah, you know, you're not thinking any of that. You know, you can't appreciate the importance. I don't know. You know, at least I did. You know, I'm speaking
for
myself.
I don't remember learning it as a kid, tell you the truth.
Isn't that something? And then when you do learn, it's just from really, you know, a worldly perspective. And, you mm-hmm. know, they don't put what truly happened in terms of God and you know, what the Lord was doing at the time. So many of us are having to kind of relearn this and re-experience this and actually re-experience this with a renewed mind, you know, mm-hmm. because maybe we had a mindset before we came to Christ. But now with the Lord, it's amazing that when Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, how he begins to illuminate all areas of your life. I mean, you just don't look at anything the same. I mean, right. I guess that's why the word says that if any man be in Christ, all things pass away and all things become new. It's like, I am a new person here. You know what I'm saying? I think differently. I act differently, you know, and this is good. So, you know, you think about the Declaration of Independence, you know, Pat, I actually recently went to Philadelphia. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, Philly is a pretty awesome place now. Oh. It's a pretty cool city. I was pleasantly surprised, but I wanted to go down because, you know, obviously I live in Jersey,
right,
but I
wanted
to go down to Philly, to Philadelphia, if you will, so that I could really appreciate and see, I mean, history. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see where the Declaration of Independence was signed, mm-hmm. you know, in Independence Hall. I wanted to see, you know, where Thomas Jefferson wrote this amazing document, mm-hmm. you know, and I wanted to see, I mean, there's so much history that, I mean, it's beautiful. I recommend anyone to go to that city. In fact, they were so helpful. They had these awesome people. I don't know who they work for, but if you're lost in downtown Philly, they have these cool uniforms, I guess, and they'll come up to you and they'll service you and tell you where to go. And I was looking for a Philly cheesesteak after I took in the sides. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it was good. It was real good. And the parking is cheaper in Philly. If anyone's familiar with parking in New York City, let me tell you, it is really good in Philly. But I'm here. I'm in Philadelphia, and we're standing outside of Independence Hall. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, just like sometimes you just got to pinch yourself, really, just to take in, like, how privileged are we? I mean, Pat, this is one of the blessed, mm-hmm. think about it, nations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look how many people. I mean, you really can judge a nation by how, you know, how good, I guess, or the quality of life there or the freedoms that they enjoy, by how many people are coming by the droves and want to come to America, to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I I mean, when's the last time you've seen people lining up outside of Venezuela? You know what I'm saying?
Not that I know of.
They don't want nothing to do with Hugo Chavez. I was like, no. Yeah, when's the last time you've seen them? They're banging the gates. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody want to go over there.
Mm-mm.
You know, and there's a lot of countries like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we are in jeopardy, America. We are in jeopardy of losing so many of our God-given rights.
That's right.
And what one generation fought for, Pat, and bled for, and literally were willing to give their lives for, one generation has no idea.
Right.
No idea. And so, you know, we have to be vigilant. We got to be aware. We got to educate ourselves. We have to educate our children. And we have to pause and reflect on what happened, you know? Walk in these shoes. Understand what happened. So, you know, Thomas Jefferson is credited with mainly writing most of the Declaration of Independence. And I didn't know this, but, Pat, two of our most precious documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution,
right.
I believe that the Declaration of Independence was signed, obviously, you know, actually it's July 2nd, but we celebrate July 4th, 1776.
Mm-hmm.
And the Constitution was in 1787.
Mm-hmm.
And so they both were signed there in Independence Hall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so Thomas Jefferson, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson, they put him up in someone's house, okay? Uh-huh. I believe it was a bricklayer who owned this house.
Right.
Thomas Jefferson needed some peace and quiet. You know how it is. We got to go away from the ministry. Oh, yeah. You got to hear from God. Yeah. He's like, get away from the TV and the cell phone and anyone calling me. I got to be alone here, you know.
Right.
So here's Thomas Jefferson away, Pat. He writes later that the flies and the mosquitoes were eating him alive. He was trying to, you know, write this document.
Mm-hmm.
And he's etching out a document that's going to be, you know, used to birth a nation.
Wow.
I mean, I literally stood outside of this house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what's cool about it is actually this house, and we're gonna put this on the torch. We're gonna put this in the VFN torch. I want to encourage you, by the way, look at the torch. You can access it at VFNTV.com and go to the VFN torch. Pat, I am so encouraged. I see so many encouraging segments that are on there. And oftentimes, I might hear the same one twice. I'm thinking, mm-hmm. that was so good. I want to hear that again.
All right.
You can have access to this anytime you'd like,
mm-hmm.
all the radio segments. You can email them. And many, many of our listeners, I'm finding, Pat, are actually posting them on Facebook and sharing them with their friends. And so mm-hmm. if you feel that you want to do that and you're listening, and this, by all means, please continue to share it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to make this available on the torch. We're going to make sure that it's on there today, okay?
Right.
But I also want to include the picture of this house. I mean, the cool thing, they preserve this house, like, in downtown
mm-hmm.
Philly. So you have, like, stores and shops and all this type of stuff. But right there on the corner,
uh-huh.
think of, like, not even half a house. It looks like a quarter of a house. I mean, it's like, it's like, they just preserved this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a house, obviously. And then they made it like, I guess, I don't know if it's like a little museum, but they do have a fancy little plaque on the side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're standing there and you think, oh my goodness, Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence right here.
Wow.
You know, and I wonder how many people just walk by it and don't even like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was like, oh my goodness, this is cool. So what I want to do is actually read some of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, cool.
Pat, this is an amazing document.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about that, what they're saying in these documents, the reason why they wanted to, you know, leave Great Britain is amazing. And how it was so worded. I mean, you got to think about it. This is the king here, man.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was not a pretty nice dude, okay?
This
is the king there. It took men and women with guts,
mm-hmm.
with conviction to say, you know what? That's it.
Right.
No more. And so the first line here says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We're like, ooh, Thomas, this is pretty good. All right, you're getting it down here.
That's good.
So he says, and this is like the main, you know, kind of, I won't say main section, but this is the most recognizable, I guess, line or portion of Declaration of Independence, where Thomas Jefferson writes, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Pat, those words, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator. Mm. Hello.
Amen.
The acknowledgement of God with certain unalienable rights, rights that cannot be denied. These rights come from God. They don't come from government.
Mm-hmm.
They come from God.
That's right.
That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Oh my goodness. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful words. And so he goes on to say that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men to ensure them,
mm-hmm.
to secure these rights.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search and your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And the bookmark. And I was like,
hello.
Right, John Ramos.
Hello.
What's going on? You used to be so talkative when you were younger.
Oh, my goodness.
Did
yes.
you know that
in
he,
my old age, I just.
This
you know,
guy
I just
used to
up,
keep me
know?
Up till what? How early in the. I mean,
oh,
what
come
kept
on.
Me
all
up?
Night long.
All night long.
Oh, man. Come on. He loved it.
Insatiable.
He loved it. He wanted
no,
to
I
talk.
Loved you, obviously. I did my bad. Because I'm like, my goodness, it was like, I mean, so talkative. So talkative, you know.
It happens in your old age, man. You just, you know, hey, just.
And that's when you were younger.
I know, but he says I'm not talkative now. I'm just, you know.
You're on the radio.
Hey,
hey. Oh, we're having fun at VFN TV and Daily Radio program.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
Okay. We got to talk about this because really, how many people, myself included, you know, mm-hmm. how many have we taken the time to read any of our documents?
All right.
You know?
Sorry.
And so we're just kind of going through some of this. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The powers come from the people, not the other way around. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, check this out, Pat. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government. Laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. They're saying, listen, when this is not happening, we need to abolish that.
Wow.
We need to make sure that the government upholds this, that they secure this, these rights. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. You're not talking about we flipping nation just for whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
let's think about this, okay? Let's have some wisdom here. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. Okay? But now hear this, Pat. This is, I mean, oh my goodness, Thomas Jefferson. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is the right, it is their duty to throw off such a government and to provide new guards for their future security. He's saying that it's a right. When these people start encroaching, when a government starts to take over and start restricting rights, that's it.
Right.
We, you know, such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. You know? And so what's happening is that they're getting together and they're saying, listen, we cannot handle this anymore. We don't want to take this anymore. And what they're saying is it's time. And you think about how much the colonies had suffered up to this point, Pat, and they lay it out. I mean, this is not something that was a flip decision or, oh, you know, tomorrow we're just going to, you know, declare, you know, our independence of Great Britain. Mm-hmm. You know, there were people that suffered greatly. Okay. Mm-hmm. And listen to this. The history, he writes, the history, I'm talking about the Declaration of Independence, the history of the present king of Great Britain. I'm going to repeat that again. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. A tyranny. And, you know, Pat, you know, Proverbs says, which is, you know, so encouraging. Proverbs says that we need to take heed to this. We need to listen. You know, Proverbs 28 says that a ruler who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain. I'm going to repeat that again.
Right.
A ruler who oppresses the poor, okay, is like driving rain that leaves no crops.
Right.
Now, we're not talking about overthrowing a government. We're talking about the Declaration of Independence. We're talking about what has occurred. We're talking about reviewing our history and understanding what has occurred, you know, so that we can appreciate our country. Mm-hmm. There's many Americans, many believers that love our country. But Pat, I'm telling you, if we don't get educated, if we don't know what's happening, if we don't know the travesties that were done before, guess what? We're going to be bound to repeat them.
That's right.
And the way things are going, I'm telling you, we just got to pay attention. So it says, like a ruler who oppresses the poor is like driving rain that leaves no crops. I mean, you think about driving rain. Mm-hmm. Driving rain, I mean, you ever try to plant something? I mean, I'm not the planter, but, you know, I've seen crops, you know, I've seen gardens, you know, but you see little seedlings, you know, like, you know, green leafy things, all right? Don't laugh at me. But you see green, and they're growing. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden comes a hurricane wind of rain, you know, a driving rain. And rain that's supposed to be good, like rulership and leadership that's supposed to be good, that's supposed to have guidance, you know, saying, you know, it's good. But the water is literally coming down and it's driving. And you ever look at the dirt or the soil after a hard rain?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of has impressions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And beat up and just tore up. Mm-hmm. And whatever that was growing there, whatever life was there, whatever little bit of hope was there, it shattered. It leaves no crops.
Right.
And so you're talking about the King of England at this time, a Great Britain. You're talking about his tyranny. And Pat, I believe there lays out about 27 things, 27 things in this Declaration of Independence that occurred. And we really have to think about it. I mean, and I'll just read some. It says, he has forbidden his governors. Well, this is what he says here. He says, to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. So it's like, I'm not just telling you how it is. I'm not just telling you that these rights come from God and we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to make our case. Right. We're going to speak with facts. Mm-hmm. And that's like good wisdom for anybody. You know, if you're mm-hmm. saying something, you need to have a little bit of facts on what you're saying. So he's saying that the King of England, Thomas Jefferson, the Declaration of Independence, the signers, the 56 signers, Pat, that signed this document, he has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for public good. Mm-hmm. He says that it says here that he has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance. He forbade them mm-hmm. unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend them. Mm-hmm. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature and a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. When you think about it, this king, he basically had unjust restrictions and laws on the American colonists. He was abolishing their local government, if you will. Mm-hmm. He was forcing them to house soldiers on their own property. Pat, think about this. He mm-hmm. was forcing them.
Right.
Okay? He resisted the appointment of judges and other officials who disagree with England. It's right. like, hello, it's a little bias here, right. you know? How can I get a fair, our judicial system, although it may not be perfect all the time, it's a pretty good system. It's a pretty good system.
Right.
And so he resists the appointment of judges and other officials who disagree with England, putting military authority and power over civilian authority. Like a police state, if you will.
Right.
It's like, what in the world is the military doing over, you know, restricting their ability to trade with foreign countries, conducting sham trials of government, officials accused of wrongdoing, levying taxes without their consent. And the list just goes on.
Wow.
So you have to imagine, I mean, this is a world superpower at the time. Mm-hmm. You have to imagine the conviction. You got to imagine what the colonists were going through, what these brave men were about to do. Mm-hmm. And the height of the suffering and the height of the injustices that were occurring. And so it was time for them to do something. And so they sent this document. And I like it. I'm getting here to the end of it here. And I like where he writes in the Declaration of Independence. He has abdicated the government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas and ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time, transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with the circumstances of cruelty, perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation.
Wow.
And then later on he goes on to say, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned. Now these are noble men, Pat. Mm-hmm. We have petitioned for redress in most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. It's like adding insult to injury. I mean, they're saying, listen, I mean, let's work this out. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do this, but you're pushing our hand here. And my goodness, I mean, if your leader's like, pay attention, you know what I'm saying? If you're, you know, God listens to the cries of those that are being, you know, falsely persecuted and the injustices that are occurring, God is watching. Mm-hmm. And so it just goes on and it's amazing how they came together. It says, we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world, Pat.
Right.
Okay. And so it finishes. They say they're going to, you know, absolve their allegiance from the British crown. Okay. They have a right to be their own nation. And the very last line says, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Oh.
Wow.
What men?
Talk about commitment.
Talk about commitment, man. Talk about faith. Talk about standing up for what's right. And it's going to take, you know, us as Americans, us as believers who love this country, not to sit idly back, you know, and to appreciate that the country that we love, the country that we have the freedom of speech, the country that we can read our Bibles, Pat, that we can can have fellowship in church, that we just shouldn't take it lightly. That the Constitution is something to be admired, to be respected, and absolutely to be defended, because our rights matter.
That's right.
And if we come, you know, and just allow changes to be made just because people wanted to change them, it's like, this is not what the founding fathers had in mind. Mm-hmm. And any law that restricts, you know, your ability to worship God, oh my goodness, no law at all. It's like, wait a minute, you can't restrict, you know, our rights to serve God. So it's important. You know, a lot of names that we hear familiar, John Hancock and Samuel Adams and, you know, Benjamin Franklin, you know, many of these men, 56 of them signed it. And basically they knew that, hey, if this doesn't go well,
that's right,
off with our heads. You know, they
that's
knew
right.
they're
taking a big chance.
That's right. You know, when you're committed, when you put your name on it, right? Maybe that's where we got that phrase, put your John Hancock on it, you know, put your signature on it, you know?
Yeah.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today, one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years. Where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it. On the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.